Okay, it's very good to see you all. This is a Master Life. Our last session, actually, for the whole 7 months. And we praise God for watching over us. Let's begin the session with a prayer. Father, I'd like to give you thanks and give glory to you. Thank you for being with us for the 7 wonderful months. Thank you for watching over us. Give us the perseverance that we made it to the last session. We just pray that you will continue to bless us today with the listening itself and with testimonies from brothers and sisters. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here's one thing I planned. There's a question, how can I keep on being discipled after Master Life since the whole program is coming to an end, and is there any follow-up program available? The answer is the Master Life Fellowship. We're going to start a fellowship for next year, the year of 2012. And all of you who graduate from Master Life, the Master Life alumni, you are welcome. It's an invitation. Okay, you're welcome to join. We will meet the first Sunday of each month, 1 p.m. I think the first Sunday is the Sunday that most departments they don't have anything planned, so we choose that Sunday. Starting the first day of next year, we're going to have a fellowship the first Sunday of each month for at least 12 months. What we're going to do, we don't have a very rigid structure, but we're going to review some points, and we'll have fellowship and share and pray. So all of you are invited. If you'd like to come, there will be a wonderful time, wonderful fellowship, so you can keep on learning what you have learned in Master Life and keep on being discipled. So this is an announcement. We will have a Master Life fellowship the first Sunday of each month. Okay, let me do some review. Last week you learned about spiritual gifts. Have you all done your spiritual gift inventory? Okay, you find out where your spiritual gifts are. Okay, all right. Here's the definition, and you better pay attention to the definition. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities given to believers by the Holy Spirit to equip them to carry out God's work in the world. Let's take a good look at the definition. It's an ability, spiritual ability. Okay, that's what spiritual gifts is, spiritual ability. And it's only given to the believers. It's not given to non-believers. And it's from the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of giving that to you is to equip you for the carrying out of God's work. So spiritual gifts are always manifest in God's ministry. That's the purpose of the whole thing. God has given you that kind of special ability for you to serve Him in His church, in His ministry. Okay, that's a spiritual gift. Okay. Here's a comparison of spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts. The gifts are related to service, and the fruit relates to character, who you are. And the gifts are the means to an end, and the fruit itself is an end. This is very important. I hope you keep that in mind. Gifts are just means to an end. The end is to do God's ministry, glorify Him. But the fruit itself, changing your character into Christ-likeness, is a fruit, it's an end itself. And the gifts are given from without. Holy Spirit gave it to you. And the fruit is produced from within. Gifts all are not possessed by every believer. No one has all the spiritual gifts, but you at least have one spiritual gift. But the fruit, since it's just one fruit, but has 9 characters. So every variety should be in every believer. You have a little bit of every character, because that's one fruit. All right, that's a comparison. Hopefully this clarifies your concept regarding gifts and fruit. Okay, now you have to give me the right answer. Which are fruits and which are gifts? To love, is that a fruit or is that a gift? To preach? Okay, you're good. To be kind? To have peace? To heal? To have joy? Okay. To help? And to be faithful? Okay. You got all of them right? All right. If you get them all right, let's move on to next comparison. We have talents and spiritual gifts. Okay. Let's look at them. Okay. Talents are received at natural birth. When you are born, you have talents. Spiritual gifts received at spiritual birth. And talents are natural abilities. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities. Many people are confused on this, on talents and spiritual gift, the difference. Christians and non-Christians, they all have talents. But only Christians have spiritual gifts. Remember, the Holy Spirit has given that to the believers only. And talents, the purpose of talents is to inspire and to entertain. But the spiritual gifts is to build up the church. Okay. Now let's get into detail. Talents or spiritual gifts. To sing well. Good organizer. Teaches the Bible. Good at numbers. Okay. Likes to help people. Okay. Leads church. Plays music instrument. Okay. And fluent in many languages. That's a talent. And the book says you can combine talents and spiritual gifts. Like you can sing well, to worship God, to lead people to worship God. The usually is combined. Okay, I'm going to show you this thing. You were shown last week about 16 spiritual gifts, and they are divided into 4 categories. Up there, the first one is worshiping. Then clockwise is teaching, serving, and witnessing. So each category has 4 elements, 4 spiritual gifts. And you did your spiritual inventory already, and you need to transform your score onto this thing, this circle. The highest score, you put a dot close to the center, body of Christ. You see the center is body of Christ, the church. All of this is for the purpose to serve the body of Christ. And so, like say, this wisdom you score like 4.5, then it's very close to the center. And the other thing is like a 2 point something, that's further away from the center. Now let me show the dots. Suppose a person has done 16 spiritual gifts, and he or she transformed the score in the form of dots. And you can see this person, he or she has good gifts on serving. He will be a very nice person to serve. But probably he's not good at teaching. So this is what you're going to do next time you come here for the spiritual gift workshop. You're going to transform your score on this diagram. And you will share your result. And the brothers and sisters in your group will discuss with you. You say, oh, I think I only have a gift of serving. I don't have a gift of teaching. But they say, no, I think you also have a gift of teaching. So you need a confirmation from others. So we'll do a little bit of that next week. This is about the spiritual gifts. And I continue to call disciple makers. If you still don't understand the job description, let me give it to you again. It's very simple. It's just to help one Christian, just one, to grow into a disciple of Christ in the year of 2012. And you begin with praying to God. Maybe right now you don't know where this person is, but you pray to God that, God, please give me a faithful person according to the Bible so that I can disciple this person next year. I don't know where this person is, but I'm praying to you that you'll provide this person, give me the opportunity to help this person grow into a disciple. And when God gives you this person, what you're going to do is to keep in touch with him, with this person every week. It is better a brother disciple, a brother sister disciple, sister. Okay. So keep in touch with this person every week for at least 3 months. Encourage him or her to stay in God's grace. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. And specifically, you just help this person to establish the spiritual disciplines. That's a characteristic of a disciple, like worship, Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing, etc. Okay. And the only qualification is that you yourself is a practicing disciple of Christ. Many of you has already responded to me. I shall have a full list next Sunday. Okay. So we are very thankful to God. And let me give you the dates again. Next Sunday, we'll have a spiritual gifts workshop and the final exam. December 4th, this is a new date. We changed the graduation date to December 4th. That day will be a very busy Sunday for us because that's a membership meeting day and the Lottie Moon offering day. But we shall be all done by 10:45. So 10:45, we'll meet. Someone has suggested instead of doing it in the dining room, we just do it right here on the second floor. I think next Sunday we'll give you the final decision. Okay. All right, so please remember this day. And like I said, all of you need to give me 1-page evangelism report by next Sunday. Okay. So pray to God, if you haven't done so yet, that in a week's time, I'll give you the opportunity to share gospel with just one believer. Yes, Jonathan? Email is fine. Yeah, email is good enough. Yeah.
I sent to Yishan. Is that okay?
Okay. As long as Yishan give it to me, then you're okay.
The responsibility is on her.
It's on her. Yishan is attending her brother's wedding today, so we give her congratulations. Yeah. Okay, so we're on week 6, ministering as collaborators. Okay, this is our last week of the last book. Just do some review. You see, we're coming to an end of the whole Master Life discipleship. We're back to the starting point. And we know a disciple is a person who follows Jesus, who makes Christ the Lord of his or her life. It's very basic. We keep that in mind. And we learn this definition about Christian discipleship. It's developing a personal lifelong obedient relationship with Jesus Christ in which he transforms your character into Christ-likeness. And it changes your value into kingdom values. And then involves you in his mission in the home, the church, and the world. a disciple's mission is to glorify God by being a lifelong obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. Glorify God by making disciples of all nations. This is what you are calling to do, to be a disciple maker. And specifically, your mission is to join God, to exalt Christ as Lord, reconcile the world to himself, and establish his kingdom. Now, for next Sunday's exam, you need to remember all the important things you have learned so far. Each book, you learn something. For book one, you learn the most important thing is the disciples' cross. You need to give me the whole cross with some details. I'm showing you a simple version of it. So go back to book one. On the back of book one, there's a whole picture of it, okay, including the six spiritual disciplines. You need to give me that too. Okay.
Every book.
Yeah. Every book. Yeah, every book has it, but in different different degree of details. Like book four is just roughly give you, but book one, it has all the details. So it's better you go to book one for the Disciples' Cross. And for book two is the Disciples' Personality. Okay, you've been tested on that already. I still need you to give me the basic idea of the disciples' personality. Okay, I will draw the basic diagram for you. So I'll draw the cross and the circle, the personality. You will fill in the blanks.
Okay.
With
a verse.
With a verse. Yeah, the Bible verses, you only need to give me the Bible verses. The book of Romans, verse this, you don't have to write down the whole verse, but you need to remember if there's a reference, you need to know where the reference come from. I won't go through the whole thing. I'd like to share. Okay, this part, you need to pay more attention. The Christian soldier of CBCWA, the spiritual armor of God, you know it has six pieces. And remember, in book three, when we learned this, each piece has three steps. How to put on the important things to put on. How to put on the armor of God. So you need to remember these three steps of each pieces. And you have six pieces, so that means 18 steps you need to remember. So go review that little steps. Know how to put on the spiritual armor. So this will help you to remember. Yes? Yes?
There were a couple of different ones. Which do you want us to learn? The
main? Oh, okay.
The natural.
Just give me the last one, the spiritual Christian. Okay. Yeah, okay. I think the other two you know pretty well already. Yeah. This one, okay, this is in book four, the five stages of spiritual development, and the master builder. You need to remember the five stages. Okay, I'll give you a basic diagram. You write down the five different stages, and also you write down the five thing on top of the diagram and below the bottom one. So the bottom five, that means your responsibility as a master builder. The top five means the other person's responsibility. So please remember these five stages so we have a good review of what I've learned. Okay. Okay. I'm going only to ask you to give me this four diagrams. The disciples' cross, the disciples' personality, and the spiritual armor, and this master builder. And this thing, the gospel in hand, I think many of you are are familiar with that already. We did numerous times of role play, and I think some of you has actually using it already. I'm not going to ask you to give me the gospel in hand, the only four. Remember that the four major diagram. So you're going to remember that and give it back to me next Sunday. Okay. And for this coming Sunday's, next week's assignment, you are done with all the books. So only thing you need to do is to review, okay? Not the gospel in hand, but just the four diagrams I mentioned to you. So review them. And for today's small group time, check each other's homework like usual, and share your spiritual gift inventory with your group members. Starting share today, okay, because next week you probably don't have enough time. Okay, so do some this week, and share your plan, how you plan to continue to be disciplined after Mass Live. I hope this is just a starting point, and you'll keep what you learned in the whole process. At the last page of book 4, and day 5, there's a passage. It's called okay, let me okay. I want to read this to you. It's a very touching passage which I like to end our discipleship program with reading this. It's also the final page of your Must Live book. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It's written by a pastor. It says, I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I have a step over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. Okay, let's go to the next one. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast. My goal is heaven, my road is narrow. My way is rough, my companions are few. My guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. Then, I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. It's well written. God bless you. Yeah, Gopeng. The unashamed are disciples of Christ. It's coming from the book of Romans, chapter 1. I think it's verses 16 or 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The unashamed, I'm not ashamed to be his disciple. So the unashamed, that refers to the people who are Christ's disciple, who follows him. Yeah. So we are now in the fellowship of the unashamed. And like this this pastor said, yeah, we just follow Jesus. Okay.